This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tricepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tricepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. I've been waiting a long time to do this show. Today we have Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on during the first hour. This is a unique Casual Friday because usually on Casual Friday, it's just Elisa and I talking about the idiocies and challenges that we have day to day in this country, just getting our hands on healthy nutrition and avoiding the pharmaceutical agenda. But today we're going to be talking about something very, very important, and that is vaccines. During the second hour, we will return to our normal format, and I will have Elisa Profumo in the studio with me. So stay tuned. Okay, so let's get started. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, how are you?
I'm terrific. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, my pleasure, my pleasure. And this is an important topic, and we have lots of listeners who have their ears pressed against the speakers right now during the live show because this information is so critical. Before we get started on the current state of vaccines and vaccinations, tell me something. Where did vaccines even begin? Where did we get this notion that placing the actual agent that causes the insult into the body somehow protects the body against the insult?
Vaccines were developed back in England back in the late 1700s by William Jenner, who at the time got 10,000 pounds to be able to develop this whole technology, which would be worth several millions of dollars today. So vaccines and money have been linked together from its very inception. And what he noticed back in the early days was that milkmaids who milked the cows seemed to be exposed to cowpox, and which is a cousin to smallpox, and it seemed as though, in his observation, that if they were exposed to the cowpox virus, that they would be immune to the smallpox virus. So he did this really nasty procedure. I mean, the original thing, which was called a variolation, which we now call vaccination. At that time, they called it variolation. And what they did was they took the smallpox virus and they cut little strips, little incisions on the cow, on the belly of a calf, and they would insert this smallpox virus, and it would be all pustular and right. And mucousy. And they would take that and they would scrape it off the belly of the cow and go and stick it into the arm of a baby or a mother, and that was supposed to keep them from getting sick. So from the very beginning, in my opinion, we've had a very filthy process that really never did much of anything. And in fact, when you really look at the history of smallpox vaccination back through the 1800s, it was first brought to the U.S. and the first smallpox vaccines were done in 1801 in South Carolina.
Right.
And when you look at the history of it, as soon as the Christian missionaries and started taking it around the world to vaccinate the heathens, the spread of syphilis and all kinds of disease went right along with it. And there's plenty of documentation back in the early medical literature to prove it.
Then this is an important point, and I'm glad you said this, because I'm aware of this early barbaric approach. There was even here in the United States in the early formation of the colonies when smallpox broke out, there were individuals who got smallpox, yet they survived, but they were covered with these weeping pustules, and they would be used as the host, and they would go to people's homes, and they would gather some of this pus. They would scratch the skin of the person, literally like an open wound, and place the pus in there. So some percentage of the people would respond positively where they wouldn't get sick, but some would succumb and die. And my thoughts were, well, that would happen if they came in contact with anyway. Why not just let them avoid the insult in the first place?
Well, two additional parts to that, Carl. One is that Smallpox has been classified as a filth disease, F-I-L-T-H, filth disease, and that we know that, pardon me, that less than 10% of the global population was ever vaccinated with the smallpox vaccine, and it went away as global hygiene improved. The second part, like any infection at all, from influenza to chickenpox to pertussis to any of those, there's a wide range of how a person responds, from worst case scenario and you died from it, to when you get chickenpox and you get one or two little vesicles somewhere in your body and now you're immune for life. The CDC and the powers that be have led us to believe that every single case of smallpox was absolutely, you know, you were crusted from head to toe with all these horrific sorts of pustules, and that most people died or you were scarred for life. And the fact of the matter is that's just simply not true. It's the same thing they did with polio.
That's what I was going to say.
They created this whole thing in our play, in our head, that every single person who's ever come in contact with a polio virus contracts it and becomes paralyzed unless, of course, you're vaccinated.
And isn't it true that polio actually started to disappear well before widespread use of the vaccine was initiated?
That's absolutely true.
And so,
that's absolutely true.
And so I think the real question here is, and this actually leads to something you and I talked about off the air, and that is the believers believe and the non-believers don't believe no matter what evidence you put. Why is it so hard for people to believe that polio was on a massive decline before the initiation of widespread vaccines? The vaccine was not responsible for the suppression of polio. It was an organic process that just happened in the population.
I think it's because we have sort of come from the very beginning, and I'm glad we started this conversation with the history of vaccination and the history of maybe even mandatory vaccination, which the first mandatory vaccination laws were passed in 1863 in the UK. From the its very inception, way back then, there was no real way to become a doctor back in the early, in the mid-1800s. There were actually 9 different processes. You could be an apprentice, you could buy it, you could do things with a pharmacist, and either you were a surgeon or you were a doctor. It wasn't the same. And from the very beginning, when they started thinking that perhaps this vaccination process was something that could help the health of humanity, there were people who were in Parliament at that time who thought, we've really got to get this out there because this is the first known thing that maybe we could really do something to help people. So from the very beginning of vaccination, we had this whole faith and belief in something that we knew nothing about. We knew nothing about immunology. We somehow got co-opted into believing that you inject this filthy junk into a little baby that somehow it's going to keep them from getting sick. And so the marriage between vaccination and the doctor's way of thinking started from the beginning. The money that goes into vaccination
Bingo.
Started from the beginning. It's all been built together into a faith more than a science. And when you do cross-disciplinary research, which means you don't just look at the vaccine stuff, you look at science and biophysics and you look at immunology and you look do across the board, you can see the fallacy in the thinking that injecting something can protect you, number one, and number two, that if you create an antibody, that's going to keep you from getting sick. Because what the antibody really is a measure of being, of something foreign being in your body. And so from the very beginning, we started with faulty science. We had this whole big thing back through the 1950s and 60s where the American Medical Association became this great big thing, and all of the people in this country began to genuflex to the guy in the white coat or gal in the white coat.
Right.
And they abdicated their ability to think, said, oh, the doctor will take care of it. The doctor knows, which the doctor doesn't know anything about vaccination other than what they were told by the drug rep that brought them lunch last week.
Right.
And so we had this whole thing, and now parents are like, I got to make a decision, which means I got to take some responsibility, and I've got to do a little bit of reading of things like package inserts, and I've got to look at the real statistics of the diseases. I don't have time for that. I'm just going to trust my doctor.
And that's a
and
big
then
mistake.
If their kids get vaccinated and they have a bad outcome, then the guilt sets in, and they're like, they can't possibly say I made a mistake, and oh my gosh, I really should have read that stuff and own it and take responsibility and cease and desist and go forth and do it no more. Instead, it's like, no, I did the right thing. I did the right thing. You know, autism and all these things are just genetic, and,
right.
and it was just going to happen anyways.
Right. No, I agree. I agree 100%.
So it's a very so the passion that comes on both sides, in my opinion, comes from a lack of information. The people who are passionately saying, I have to vaccinate, is because you've never looked at the information. And the people who say, I ain't never going to vaccinate, are the people who have looked at the information.
Well, and there's another thing afoot here, in my opinion. We're seeing a resurgence of vaccines because the pharmaceutical agenda is being threatened right now, because a lot of people are starting to get the message that cholesterol-lowering drugs do not prevent heart attacks. In fact, these drugs are being repurposed because there is trending going on, and the pharmaceutical companies realize, well, we can't, the cat's out of the bag. You know, the linkage between heart disease and cholesterol, the myth is now being seen by everybody. We have to find other ways to get our return on this investment. So they're repurposing these drugs as anti-inflammatories and everything else. So I feel personally that the pharmaceutical companies see the vaccine as the next cash cow. And here's why. It's like having home insurance and your home never burns down. The insurance worked. If you take a vaccine and you don't get sick, you think it worked. The people who still get sick from the vaccines and from the diseases that they were supposed to prevent, they're silenced because the medical orthodoxy says, no, this is something else. So I see vaccines as a necessary component in saving the pharmaceutical agenda today. Am I off base on that?
You're 100% correct, and I'll add a little element to that. The other reason that they're really pushing the vaccine agenda forward and really developing it is not only because of the cat's out of the bag about the drugs, but many of their blockbuster drugs that were making billions of dollars, their patents are expiring.
Yes.
And so that's the one thing. The other thing is if we can make all the entire human race repositories of our little widget called a vaccine. And we can do it by force and laws and getting governments involved with it and all this stuff to make them be repositories of our product. And it's a known fact that a sizable portion of those people who get injected with that stuff somewhere down the road also develop asthma, allergies, eczema, ADD, ADHD, cancer, insulin-dependent diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, etc. Now we've got another waste place to sell our widgets, our drugs.
But is it really that sinister?
It is. That sinister, in my opinion. And I'll tell you, and I really believe that the people at the top know it. Their job is to be beholden to the shareholders and sell their drugs.
Yeah.
And how do we, they can read as well as I can read and you can read and all the people who've read this stuff. They're not illiterate and they're not stupid.
Okay, we have to take a quick commercial break. We've got lots of questions. We've got listener questions we're going to cover. We're talking with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Two websites you can visit. The first one is drtenpenny.com, drtenpenny.com. The other one is vaccineresearchlibrary.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back?
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting tasciences.com. That's tasciences.com.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharge immediately.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan 2, mechanical growth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today. DNA and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. We're talking about vaccines, and all of your questions will be answered. Those of you who have sent questions in to us via Facebook or on air at superhumanradio.com, Elisa Profumo has assembled those for me and put them in extra large print so I know I can read them. There you go. Okay, let's get right back to it. Dr. Tenpenny, the question that's on everybody's mind, are there any safe vaccines?
I always say that a little poison's still poison.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And, you know, one thing that I'd like to lay out here for just your listeners, Carl, is that I want to give them just a little bit more of my background of how I can be so bold and brazen in some people's minds to be able to say these things unwaveringly. You know, my background is in emergency medicine. I was board certified in emergency medicine as a medical doctor, an osteopathic medical doctor, and I was the director of an emergency department for 12 years and did all the conventional stuff that you can do in the world of emergency medicine. In 1994, my business partner died of metastatic kidney cancer, and I said, you know, it's time to get back to some more of my holistic roots and find out what causes disease and how to prevent that rather than just patching it up after people are broken. I come from three generations of chiropractors. That my grandfather, my father, three uncles and two cousins were chiropractors, and that's why I decided I wanted to be a DO, an osteopath, instead of an MD, because I wanted to have that osteopathic manipulation tool in my toolbox. So after my big run in emergency medicine, director of the ER, president of our ER group, ran a three-county EMS program and all of that, I moved to Cleveland to start an integrative medicine practice where we have an MDs, we have a holistic pediatrician, a holistic gynecologist. We have people from all over the world have come to our clinic to get well and off their drugs. In our clinic, as I said, we have two MDs, a DO, a physician's assistant, an acupuncturist, a chiropractor, and a couple of RNs and a whole big staff. And so I started into the vaccine industry, and looking at that back in September of 2000, I went to a conference and said, wow, what is this all about? And since September of 2000, I've invested more than 17,000 hours of my own time investigating the problems associated with vaccines. You can't find what you're not looking for, but when you start looking for it, you find it. And I've written two books and published and put out like six or seven DVDs of information. So I've put a big chunk of my personal time and life into investigating this. So when I say strongly that I do not believe that vaccines do anything but cause harm, it comes from a studied opinion of reading the medical literature and the science and going to conferences and digging deep into what this whole thing is about. It's not just something that I came up with after a weekend conference and it changed my mind.
Okay, so obviously we are indoctrinated into the vaccine process very early on. I mean, your baby is born, they give them the first round of vaccines at what period of time? Do you know?
Birth.
Right there, boom, they give them to you. How do parents keep – first of all, most parents have a sense of angst. When I talk to them about vaccines, they're like, what if I'm being irresponsible? We have friends in the pharmaceutical industry, one in which said that, you know, vaccines are the greatest things that ever came. Of course, that they drink their own Kool-Aid. But, I mean, people hear that and they think, wow, am I being reckless and by not vaccinating my child?
And that's a really legitimate concern. That's a really good place for parents to be from, because you're starting, when you make that statement, you're starting with zero information. And the vaccine machine at the pediatrician's office and the drug reps and the CDC and television commercials, they have endless money at their disposal to propagate this whole thing, to tell parents that you're absolutely irresponsible if you don't inject them with substances that could kill them. But they don't really say that little subtext, but they just roll over them and make them feel horrible if they don't goose step to the point of injecting this stuff into their children. So at that point, they have to make a decision. Am I going to go with the flow and be the lemming that runs off the edge of the cliff, or am I going to say, wait a minute, there's no rush here. The only reason that we do these vaccines at 2, 4, and 6 months is because it's doctor convenience. That's when the schedules are set up. That's when the insurance company pays for those visits. And so we've got to, boom, do these things all on time, which is an absolute lie. So you've got all kinds of time to do your research, to talk to the other side, to read, to do something as simple as read package inserts. And what I say frequently, Carl, is if you can't pronounce it and you have no idea what it is, what the chemical is, what the animal stuff is that's in the vaccines, if you can only imagine that being injected into your precious little baby, maybe that's a choice that you don't want to make.
That's an interesting question. Can a parent, because obviously what we're talking about here is something that is pretty much devoid in the pharmaceutical industry and the medical orthodoxy. That's true informed consent.
Yep.
Do I have the right to ask my doctor? I'd like to see the inserts for all the vaccines that you're planning on giving my child before you give them.
You absolutely do. And if they're not willing to give them to you, that should give you reason to pause.
Okay.
I've had parents say things to me like, you know, I've read the package inserts, and, you know, when I go in and I ask my pediatrician, which, by the way, I a little subtext here, you don't need a pediatrician for your wellness checks. You can find a nurse practitioner, a pediatric chiropractor. There are other types of places
really?
Where you can go. You don't. A pediatrician is not a normal part of your armamentarium that you have to have like oxygen. And I wish that I could switch that paradigm in a heartbeat.
Why do you feel that pediatricians have agendas that they enforce on families?
They do. And
yeah.
and right out of the CDC's literature, a 10-practice pediatric practice has $100,000 worth of vaccine inventory sitting on the shelf.
Wow.
And some of that has short shelf life, like flu shots. You can only use them for one season. Most of them are only good for 2 years. And like any business, when you buy a whole bunch of something in your inventory, you need to sell it.
Yes.
You need to move it. And if you've got a captive audience of people coming in at 2, 4, 6 months and 12 months, in order to move your inventory and your widgets, you do it.
Okay, so what is the out? I've heard people say you can get out of vaccinating your children by claiming it's against your religion. Can you just say, I don't want vaccines?
No, and I don't think parents should do that. I think that parents should absolutely do their homework first. Because if you choose not to vaccinate, there's several things that you need to be aware of. One is, what is your school laws in your state? There are 19 states that have what's called a philosophical exemption, which means you look at the risk of the vaccine versus the risk of the illness, and you say, no, thank you, I'll sign the form. There are 48 states that say that have what's called a religious exemption, and you have to know how to file that appropriately in your state, and different states have different ways of doing it, meaning some states you have to file it every year, some states it has to be notarized, some states it's a form at the school, some states you have to write a letter, but you have to know your state law. You also, and not vaccinating doesn't mean that you don't do anything in terms of responsibility. But I like to use this example, Carl. It's like, because we're coming into fall season, and if you all the leaves fell off your trees and you raked them into a great big pile, and then you went out underneath that pile and you lit and blew off a little cherry bomb, and those leaves blew up in the air and landed, you know, and went all over the place again. it's an impossibility to predict where those leaves are going to land.
Right.
When you inject something into your body, you as an adult, we talk a lot about children, but there are many adult vaccines too. When you inject something into your body, it is absolutely impossible to predict what that outcome is going to be. It could be something as simple as nothing. Well, that didn't seem like anything. Or a little sore arm, or they cry a little bit. All the way up to long-term disability, to seizure disorders, and even death. My pediatrician in my office, who's been practicing for 30 years, stopped doing vaccines at very early in her practice because she saw two children die within 24 hours with SIDS right after the vaccine, and she knew unequivocally that's what it was.
And we know what that's about, too. We talked about that on the show many, many months ago. There's a reduction in serotonin response, which is the natural alarm system in a baby's brain. So if they're smothering, they pick up their head, turn their head, and they breathe. And it happens within for a two-week period after the either the smallpox vaccine or some other vaccine, I remember. Elise is in the studio, but she's not mic'd up right now. But we talked about it several months ago. It's very, very interesting that you point that out. Okay, so getting back to, let's talk about adult vaccines for a moment. There is a lot of teenagers, college students that are being talked to about right now about the HPV vaccine. I've heard stories from Dr. Jared Scarron, who's been on the show, that there are girls who are virgins. They've never had sex, but they've had the HPV vaccine and have developed cervical cancer. What are your opinions on the whole human papilloma virus? I've heard that it's transient. It doesn't always cause cancer.
More than 98% of the time, it comes and goes just like getting a cold. Now, sometimes it can take longer for it to go away, and there are a few strains that tend to be recalcitrant. There are 8 known HPV strains that have been associated with, and I will not say caused by, and there's a distinct difference there, but there are eight viruses that have been associated with cancer. Only 2 of them are in the vaccine. The other 2 are for human warts, venereal warts.
Right.
And there are large numbers of cases, there are cases, not large numbers, but there are cases when girls have gotten the HPV vaccine that have broken out with recalcitrant cases of extensive venereal warts from the vaccine. And they also know, and it's my opinion about cervical cancer, is that the cervix is an exposed organ. It's not like your gallbladder, it's exposed to the external environment.
Right.
And you have to have a healthy cervix to resist what it is exposed to from the environment, which could be the HPV viruses, which could be all kinds of things.
Right.
If you have a healthy cervix, then you have a built-in resistance to exposure by these viruses. It's been my experience, not just my opinion, but my experience that an unhealthy cervix is where these viruses can set up shop and, you know, have this cause, break down the tissue. And in our practice, we have a board-certified gynecologist in our practice, and when we have patients that come in with cervical dysplasia or some of these other things, even with people that have tested positive for HPV, when we treat it like a nutritional deficiency disease, most of the viruses go away and the cervix heals up.
Interesting. So it all comes back down to maintaining a healthy inner terrain, which
yes.
It really is what is optimal.
In a healthy vaginal environment, you know,
yes.
With the right probiotics, the right pH, you know, vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin C, and women over the age of 35 will use some natural progesterone. We change their diet. We get them to quit smoking. We get them off the birth control pill. We do these different things. And the cervix, like any other organ that's sick, when you put in the right nutrients, it heals up.
Yeah. We're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to answer some listener questions. We're talking with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. We have 2 websites to direct you to. The first is drtenpenny.com. That's drtenpenny.com. The other is vaccineresearchlibrary.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Only the names will change every day. It seems we'll
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny about vaccines today. We're going to go ahead and read some listener questions because I know that there are people out there who probably have some of these same questions. The first one was submitted by Matthew Couch, and I'm just going to kind of summarize the question. Matthew has a one-year-old son who has received some vaccines. They did them one at a time, spaced at least a few weeks apart, and also did not start till their son was 6 months old. So obviously they did what you said and waited, didn't just jump right on it. But the MMR, I guess that's measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, it's time for that, and there's so much controversy around it. Could you ask Dr. Tenpenny to discuss it a little? How bad are these diseases if contracted, and her thoughts on the risk from the vaccine versus not vaccinating their boy right now?
That's a great question, and I would encourage, the gentleman to do just a little bit of reading about each one of those, about those illnesses. Because I could take up the whole rest of the hour answering that.
Right.
And it's the biggest problem that I see in the MMR vaccine is the fact that it's 3 live virus vaccines that are injected at the same time, and frequently it's also given with the chickenpox vaccine, which again is another live virus. And that's a big section of the medical literature that when you go across industries is they say that one of the biggest problems with the MMR is the fact that it's the injection of these live viruses at the same time.
Yeah.
The other thing is that both the chickenpox vaccine and the MMR have milligram amounts, like 12 milligrams of gelatin in them. And the gelatin is highly, highly pro-inflammatory and can cross the blood-brain barrier. And it's gelatin just like you eat in Jell-O.
Really?
But the difference, there's a big difference between ingesting something and having your digestive enzymes breaking it down and injecting this foreign substance into the body that is very pro-inflammatory. The measles, I'm 54. Almost everybody in my age group and older had measles when we were a kid.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and you're sick for a week or two and then you have lifetime immunity. Somehow we have focused on this very short list of infections. Very short list. There's like 15 of them. And we have become like phobic about the fact that, oh my gosh, my child might get one of these illnesses, and the vaccine machine has made you feel like if your child gets this, they will die. Well, if that were the case, all of us that were around long before any of these vaccines were available, I guess we wouldn't have the size of population in the U.S. we'd have, because we probably would have all been dead.
Right.
And so I think that I commend your listener there for taking on some proactivity in terms of spreading them out, doing one at a time. You know, the whole series idea, the idea that we do three shots, like three shots of DPT, three shots of MMR, or I mean of Hib and polio and all these different things, all comes from a statistical probability. The theory is that you give the first vaccine to prime the pump. When you give the second vaccine, that induces a reaction, so you get an antibody. And that third vaccine is just given to make sure that we boost that antibody up level as high as we possibly can. And so many parents who really can't get their head around the idea of not vaccinating at all, they will do one vaccine and stop, and they'll say, that's enough. I'm sure they've got some protection from that. They don't need to do any more. Or they can get a blood test called a titer test,
mm-hmm.
T-I-T-E-R, which is a measurement of the antibodies in the bloodstream. Now, that's another big, long discussion about the value or lack of value about antibodies, but that's some sort of a comfort level for people to say, well, I've got this antibody, so I don't need to do any more. So that is an option. In some circumstances, that's sometimes the only option, like sometimes in the military. They have to get these vaccines. Or sometimes when I've testified in nasty court cases where one parent, they're getting a divorce, and one parent doesn't want to vaccinate, the other parent does, and the one parent that does uses it as a weapon so that they call the other parent who doesn't want to vaccinate unfit so they don't have to pay child support. And so in my opinion, they're using the children's immune system as a football over.
Disgusting. That's disgusting.
I can't tell you. I've been involved in far too many of those cases.
The next question comes from Canada, from Carmela Cierzo. She says, I have a question. When the H1N1 epidemic came around, I took the vaccine. Parenthetically, she says, I so regret it. Then, bam, within the past year after, I had three bouts of shingles, obviously herpes zoster. Can there be a connection? I know two other people who got the vaccine and also got 2 to 3 bouts of shingles within the past year or two after receiving the vaccine. What do you think, Dr. Tenpenny?
Well, the H1N1 was a flu shot for a particular type of strain of influenza that they call it H1N1. It had a lot of adverse chemicals in it. I don't think that the H1N1 causes shingles. Shingles is associated with chickenpox, the chickenpox vaccine, and another virus called herpes zoster, but it certainly could, theoretically, knock your immune system down far enough that if you had a history of chickenpox and you had an indolent virus that was sitting in one of the nerves, it could have caused it to sprout, so to speak, and to act up and have an outbreak. So the connection would be that the H1N1 lowered your immune system and caused a big inflammatory response that was happening and allowed the shingles to come out.
I actually had swine flu in it was either late 2008, early 2009, and I took 100,000 IUs of vitamin D and 50,000 IUs of vitamin A day for 3 days, and I was better in 3 days. And when it first hit me, I couldn't get out of bed. I mean, I was so sick, and full of
and
fever.
And you live to tell about it, right?
Yeah, and I didn't get any vaccine before that or after that. I mean, people don't realize that vitamin A is used in third world countries in place of vaccination.
Yep, and that's interesting because that's a little protocol I've been talking about on the radio for a long time. When you first get sick, 100,000 units of vitamin D for 3 days, and I even say 100,000 units of vitamin A for 3 days, because most people are depleted, and you're not doing it long-term, and it's not enough to be toxic or to make you horribly sick. You don't have to worry about overdose because you're only doing it for 3 days.
Right.
And when you're sick and you've got a virus going on in your system, you need to pull out, you need to have that very high level of
the big
some
guns.
Of your strongest antivirals.
Yes.
Great job. Good for you.
And well, I'll tell you something else. My daughter had a really bad case of acne vulgaris and wanted to get on Accutane. And I found this study that showed 350,000 IUs of vitamin a day for a month were well tolerated in women and completely reversed this condition. I just had to take 100,000 IUs of vitamin a day. By the second week, it started to dry up. And she just continued it for a fourth up to a month, and then she stopped, and it's all gone now.
Yep, good
so
for you.
So this notion that, 10,000 IUs of vitamin A is toxic. I take 20,000 a day myself just to keep my stem cells repairing things instead of having to be removed and put in a petri dish. So anyway, okay, Scott Tavener, which I think he's in the UK, right? Scott Tavener says, I'm really worried about what vaccinations my daughter should get. I'm prepared before they try it. I got a paragraph. I know some are good, like rubella, whooping cough, tetanus, etc., but I don't want the cervical cancer one on her. Any advice that Dr. Tenpenny can give so I don't risk her health unnecessarily should be greatly appreciated. I kind of feel like we covered it a little bit. She's seven years old.
We covered and I would challenge him to for him saying some are good. Based on what?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I got an article sent to me just a couple of days ago about pertussis because the CDC and everybody's all worried about the increased incidence of pertussis we've had in the last couple of years. Well, the vaccine, the antigens in the vaccine are no longer matching the antigen on the pertussis bacteria that is still out in the environment. So it's not as effective. It's lost its tolerance. And the other thing is that this article that I got sent to me that said that if you have a natural pertussis infection, that the resistance that you develop from a natural pertussis infection and your ability to resist future infections can last for more than 30 years.
Wow. So get the infection, you're better off. And fight it off yourself.
For most of these, it's like we talked a little bit about this off the air, Anytime that you're messing with Mother Nature, it can't possibly be good.
I agree. And that's why we're going to take our last commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about genetically modified babies. It's the new thing. I see a Wolverine in the future here. We have X-Men coming. You can learn more about Dr. Sherry Tenpenny by going to one of the two websites. Dr. Tenpenny, and that's drtenpenny.com, or vaccineresearchlibrary.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30 gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER today.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering
than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. This question actually came from Richard Patterson, but we have a lot of people who want to know the answer to this and want Dr. Tenpenny to weigh in on this. The new genetically modified babies or genetically engineered genes. Richard Patterson says he doesn't think it's such a big deal having genes from three parents. And he really didn't understand why I was ranting about it when we talked about it. And actually, in a second message he sent, he actually put a positive spin. He says, are we on the cusp of parents increasing the likelihood of a baby getting the father's height, for example, or the mother's bone structure? What do you think about this whole, we talked about it, but openly, what do you think about the whole notion of fooling around with the genes and then producing babies from them?
I guess the first thing that comes to mind, which isn't very scientific, is that it's just creepy.
Yeah.
And it's this whole notion of transhumanism, of mixing animal DNA and animal genes and with human genes and human DNA and morphing the human race into something that we don't know what. Are we going to be creating diseases that we never
yes.
saw before?
Yes.
Are we going to have bacteria and viruses that are so virulent that nobody can resist them anymore because we've transformed our normal, endogenous, God-given 30,000 or more year old immune system into something else under the name of, I don't know, picking your kid's bone structure? I mean, I just think it's just creepy.
Personally, I think it's dangerous. And you know what? I'm a big proponent of critical thinking skills. And we talk about this on the show ad infinitum. I say when science contradicts what you know to be true, go with what you know to be true. Okay?
And
we just have to look, everybody in my audience, I mean, we're going to talk about Proposition 37 in the second hour. Everybody in my audience is opposed to genetically modified corn and soy. We're opposed to Monsanto or Monsatan, as we affectionately call them here on the show, fooling with our food chain, because we know this food is no longer digestible. We know that GMO corn is causing IBS and GERD and ulcerative colitis and a host of other diseases. If fooling with the genetic material of corn is a bad idea, then fooling with the genetic material of human beings is a monumentally bad idea.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly. If you don't like GMO food, are you really going to like GM people?
because we know, because look, The corn borer is now stronger because of the GMO corn and the copious amounts of Roundup Ready they've had to use, the Roundup pesticide. So now it's become stronger. I want to go back and talk about what you just said a second ago about diseases becoming stronger. We know that because of the genetically modified corn and the additional pesticides they've been able to use on it, we now have super weeds that they're considering turning to, yes, Agent Orange. Could you believe the FDA may give them the right to use a watered-down version of Agent Orange on corn? Okay, so now let's go back to humans. We are so much more complex than corn and the soil in the field. You start genetically modifying humans, you're going to have genetically modified diseases. Genetically modified diseases that may not cause illness in the genetically modified humans, but may wipe out a large portion of the regular human population, because we won't have the systems to deal with it because it was made in this mutated human.
And you know, that brings up the whole issue of genes and the gene pool, because I think that a lot of us have come, or a lot of people have come to think of the genes in your DNA as fixed and rigidity, sort of like hooking together Legos. You know, here's gene number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and they all kind of link together like Legos, and it's a firmly fixed thing. When in the truth of the matter is, when you look at the genetic literature and you really understand more, it's very fluid. It's kind of like, I always sort of look at it as like wheat chaff, like waving in the wind. Mm. You know, it's a very fluid sort of thing, and that the genes sort of change places, and there's different things that turn them on and turn them off, and different combinations of things. It's a true symphony. And now we're developing DNA vaccines that are supposed to be targeted to specific genes to turn them on and turn them off.
Right.
And now what happens if we have this DNA vaccine, and let's say it's for something noble like cancer. We want to have this DNA vaccine to go turn off this gene that's causing this cancer. Now the cancer is no longer there, but we still have the antibody from the vaccine. There's this whole issue in immunology called molecular mimicry, which this antibody looks around and says, well, I don't see the cancer gene here anymore. Do I see anything that looks kind of sort of like it?
Yeah.
If there's something pretty similar, let me go over and attack that.
Let me tell you where that's evident in society today. It's called autoimmune disorder.
That's what I was going at.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's all right. We're both pretty passionate about this.
Yes.
Because that's exactly what's happening right now today, and particularly with the Hib vaccine and with Prevnar and with hepatitis B. It's been strongly recorded in the medical literature that we've got this antibody and we don't have hepatitis B, we don't have Haemophilus influenza, and we don't have this strains of strep. And so where does this look like? Oh, I see. It looks real similar to that gene, that DNA sequence on your pancreas. Let me go over there and attack that. And why do you think now we have insulin-dependent diabetes showing up in very large numbers in kids under the age of 1, which was unheard of before?
Epigenetics at work.
Yep.
Epigenetics
exactly right.
At work.
Yep.
So, but do you think that I am being overzealous by saying that we could end up with diseases in these genetically modified humans that literally wipe out portions of the human race? I mean, am I being too, 1984 George Orwellian here?
No, I think that if you're not like that, you should be.
Okay.
You know, I believe that what we're doing is just insanity. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, and I can say that with looking at, like, children who are completely unvaccinated, or even adults. I mean, I'm not vaccinated.
Yeah.
and I'm healthy as a horse. And you see these children who are completely unvaccinated, and they are bright and sharp and inquisitive, and parents do things for them like feed them good food, get them good quality vitamins, something better than chewable Flintstones, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they give them a good quality mercury-free fish oil. They make sure their vitamin D level is at least 60. They get them outside. They get them away from computers. They make them go play and roll around in the dirt. And they get them to bed on time, because these kids need, the most important thing you can do for your children is enforce bedtimes, no matter what kind of a temper tantrum they throw.
Yes.
Because they need their sleep, and the parents need need a mommy daddy time away from the kids.
I agree with you there. So many children stay up too late. You want to see the results of it? Precocious puberty. We saw this in the Egyptians, who were night worshippers. Children were having babies at 11 and 12, because when you start the cessation of melatonin, which is highest in the first decade of life, heralds puberty. And so when you have your children staying up later and later at night playing on the computer because it's convenient for you, you're just bringing on puberty for them. That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad. Scott Jerzyk made a comment. He said, Dr. Tenpenny is outstanding. My wife and I heard her speak in Columbus, Ohio, a few years back. Thank you for having her on the show. I look forward to hearing the interview.
Aw, so how nice. Yeah, Thank you so much.
Anyway, so what we have a few minutes here. What do you have coming? You have any speaking engagements that people should know about?
I don't have anything coming up soon. I've got a lot of other irons in the fire, but I do want to make just a little comment about the Vaccine Research Library.
Please.
Since you've been talking about that. This is a project that I started about 3 years ago, invested a hefty amount of money into it to make it happen. I have a full-time researcher that gleans across all the different disciplines looking for problems associated with vaccines. And we have collected more than 4,500 articles to be put into the research library where you can search it, and you can find things that are causing problems. You can sign up for free for 2 weeks, so you can go and you can at least look at pertussis, aluminum, and MMR. The gentleman that called in earlier about MMR, go to vaccineresearchlibrary.com. You can sign up for a free 2-week trial. You do not have to put a credit card in to do that. It's totally free. You can search all the information about MMR, and I think that will help you make your decision.
That's very cool.
We have ongoing expenses to build this every week. We've got more than 4,500 articles now, and it grows by about 17 articles a week. We put up a Scream of the Week every Tuesday that's free that you can post everywhere that you want on Facebook and all of your websites, and it's some of the most egregious things that we see in terms of problems being associated with vaccines. So it's a membership site. I don't think it's very expensive to join, and it certainly supports the work that we continue to do and to bring all of this stuff to light.
That's very noble of you, especially the fact that you don't have to enter a credit card number in just to take advantage of the free trial, because that's usually a stopgap for me when I want to test drive something, but I don't want to commit to it. And I understand that you don't want a bunch of tire kickers. But I think it's very noble of you to do that, I have to tell you.
Well, as a free member, you get access to three sections of the website, which is MMR, aluminum, and pertussis. And there is enough just in those three sections to keep you reading for days.
You know, I have a final question, and it just dawned on me. And I sometimes feel like Columbo, and probably you and I are old enough to remember who Columbo is.
Yes, we are. The rest
of the audience is. I heard a rumor that the government, the United States government, has a division that indemnifies pharmaceutical companies against the things that go wrong with their vaccines and pays out hefty amounts of money to keep families quiet about their experiences with the side effects of vaccines. Is that true?
It's not a rumor. It's absolutely true. It's called the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, and they've paid out over $2 billion to people who've been injured by vaccines. It's part of the Vaccine Injury Compensation Act that Reagan signed into law in 1986, and it's an ongoing program where vaccine-injured patients are compensated. It's a very litigious program now, which was not the way it was designed to be. And some of the parents that have gotten larger payouts in order to receive their check, they have to sign it as an undisclosed amount.
Yeah, a gag order. They can't even talk about it. And let me tell you, forget about whether or not you believe vaccines are good or bad. Let me tell you why the American population ought to be really pissed off right now. Because what we have here is an indemnification program for a privatized company. So in other words, profits are privatized, but the risks are socialized. People ought to be pissed off about this. Is something that the pharmaceutical companies should be doing, not our tax dollars.
Do the pharmaceutical companies not do it? If you take your children in when they get their vaccines, there is a small tax on each one of those vaccines that you, the consumer, are paying, and that tax then goes into the injury compensation program to pay for people who are injured.
That's terrible.
And another thing that you just said that's so important is the fact that we've got laws in place to force you to be injected with things against your will, and now it's starting into the healthcare industry to get vaccinated in exchange for employment, in exchange for higher education. And the industry is completely indemnified. And what would happen if we forced the car industry to give every single person a car just because in anything that went wrong with the car, they don't have any liability for? Can you think of one other industry in the entire world that has the level of protection as the vaccine injury
and
does?
You wanna,
vaccine
and, industry and, does. And this is why we are bankrupt, these types of decisions. Dr. Tenpenny, I want to. I know you are busy. You're booked up till next year. I want to thank you for making time to come on the show today.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, take care. All right, when we come back, we will resume the normal casual Friday format, and I will have the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo on the air with me. We've got lots of great stories to talk about, nutritional idiocies, railing against the FDA and Monsanto. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting tasciences.com. That's tasciences.com.
Want hardcore legal gear? Check out MrSups.com. MrSups.com carries only the best pro hormones, raw powders, and post-cycle products around. MrSups.com can deliver the goods, and no one beats MrSups.com on hardcore, barely legal pro hormones, because MrSups.com is the source. You get wholesale prices by cutting out the middleman. Don't waste your hard-earned money. Go to MrSups.com today and compare for yourself. You won't be disappointed. MrSups.com. That's MrSups.com. Cutting-edge products at wholesale prices. Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com. And download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The Triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the Triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-1 41, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
I like the song.
I can tell you're dancing over there.
Want to listen a little more. Wait. Just a little more. How about this? We don't do the show. We just listen to music for the next hour. No?
Well, we have too much to talk about. What a,
okay.
What a great interview with Dr. Tenpenny.
Wasn't she great?
She's awesome.
Yeah, I know. I like her a lot. And you know what? She's booked through next year. And, you know, we do Casual Friday on Friday. And she told Elisa, if you want me on, I have only one opening. And it's this Friday at noon. And Elisa was like, okay, we'll do that.
We'll do it. I'll take it.
I mean, that was a coup to get her on the show.
It
really
was.
Because she doesn't readily do radio. She has her own radio show, I think, that she does.
I think so.
Yeah.
She's really good. I was sitting here taking notes.
I know. I saw you. I know.
I don't know why. I could re-listen to the show.
I forgot about that. That is funny.
Yes. Okay. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about the GMO foods.
Yes. Especially because Proposition 37.
Yes.
Which the entire country needs to understand this. If California gets manufacturers to label GMO foods, those manufacturers are not going to make product for California and product for the rest of the country. So in other words, for instance, if Kashi has to start labeling GMO foods, they're going to label all. So every state is going to benefit from this.
And they're supposedly a natural brand, Kashi.
Yeah.
It's
well,
all
don't forget,
GMO.
Well, don't forget, the FDA allows them to say that genetically modified foods are natural.
So what I find interesting is that these companies are now conspiring to funnel millions worth of dollars into this to fight.
Yeah, an ad campaign.
Yeah,
25 million. What they've done is this. These companies have all gotten together. And you have a list of the companies?
I just have a short list. It's
okay.
It's on Natural News.
Okay, but before you read that, what these companies have done is they've gotten a war chest together to dump $25 million in advertising into California to tell people why they should vote no on Prop 37. But you know what? I don't care where you stand on genetically modified foods. I don't care if you're one of the people who says, look, GMO isn't bad for you, or you're one of the people that says GMO is bad for you. Here's the bottom line question. Why shouldn't you know? Why shouldn't you know?
And to take that a little bit further, why do these companies not want you to know?
Yes, and I know why. Because there is a growing faction of people out there that have made their decisions based on evidence. Evidence like the story about Carly Gomez. Evidence like the story about Charles Spencer. Evidence of friends that they've heard, hey, you know what? When I stopped eating corn and I stopped eating soy, I stopped being sick. And it's not just corn and soy are bad for you, but when they're genetically modified, they're poisons. And so they know that the word is out. And they don't want people to have the choice. That's what it comes down. They don't want you to have the choice.
Okay, so here's just a little bit of a snapshot. Kashi, which is owned by Kellogg,
right?
They've contributed $612,000 to defeat Proposition 37.
Right.
Larbar, which is owned by General Mills, they contributed $520,000. Santa Cruz Organic, which is owned by Smucker, they contributed $387,000. Cascadian Farm, which is owned by General Mills, they contributed $520,000. So I guess you guys get
Monsanto is the largest. Monsatan is the largest contributor at $4.2 million they threw at this.
You're kidding
me. Well, sure. They're the GMO domino one. They're the first domino in the chain. They can't lose this fight. You know what? If Monsanto loses this fight, as I said, because the rest of the country will have labeling de facto, they could be out of business in a couple of years. They're already going after DuPont to try to get, was it DuPont that they're going after?
It was DuPont. They were trying to get $9 billion. They were suing them for $9 billion.
Yeah, they're going after them, but they're looking for where are we going to get money from? Because we're not getting it from where we used to get it from. People aren't buying these products anymore.
You know, there was a picture floating around with companies who oppose GMO labeling.
Right.
And, you know, the usual suspects are on there, Monsanto, Cargill, Syngenta. But there was a few on there that surprised me.
Like who?
McCormick's, which is spices.
So,
you know, the little cans of spices that you get. They're on that list.
Well, I guess because they probably have some GMO spices or something in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing I can think of.
Bumblebee, which is tuna. They're on here.
Well, think why.
Because of
the
soy that's in there.
We talked about that. They're putting soy in the broth now.
Godiva chocolates are on this list.
They must use soy product. They must use soy products.
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe some soy products in there.
Mm-hmm. Land of Lakes.
The Butter People?
The Butter People. Mm-hmm. That surprised me. So, you know, Dean Foods, it's just crazy. All of the companies that are...
Well, and I'm going to take it a step further.
Okay.
Okay? Even if we get, and we must get open disclosure in California for the rest of the country. I'll say that again. So those of you who don't live in California need to be interested in this fight. Once we get that on, we also have to tell them we don't want GMO feeds fed to our animals. Because as Adele Moussa points out in the best blog in the world, Subversity.com, you are what you eat, ate. So you're still going to get those GMO components in the flesh of the meats that you're eating if they're feeding GMO foods to the animals that they're slaughtering.
Okay, so here was an article on organic consumers.
Oh,
you don't want to hear what
I have to say? I wanted to clear my throat and hit my butt.
You just did my... Okay.
There you go.
Organic Consumers Association. In this article, they're talking about boycotting Kellogg's.
Right.
And what they did was they told Kellogg's if they use sugar from genetically engineered sugar beets, their foods would be boycotted.
Right.
And Kellogg's responded by saying that they don't use genetically engineered ingredients in Europe. But in the U.S., consumer concerns about the usage of biotech ingredients in food production are low.
Right.
So basically, they don't have to worry about it in the U.S.
So in other words, what they're saying is, it may be bad for you, but no one in the U.S. cares, so we're going to keep feeding it to
them. So they care about, the Europeans care about it, but the citizens of the U.S. don't.
Right.
But
we do care about it.
Exactly.
We do care about it. You know, can I interject another subject in here that kind of fits into this discussion?
Sure.
A profound study was done in Europe linking bisphenol A to cardiac stenosis, or narrowing of arteries in the heart, which leads to heart attack, by the way. And I think it was either 67,000 individuals participated in this study, or 16,000, I forget, so don't quote me on that. But conclusively, those with the highest levels of urinary excreted BPA had the highest probability of having this stenosis, or narrowing of arteries, that leads to heart attack. Now, you would think that with that out in the media, somebody would be talking about it. This came out last week. No one's talking about it on the news. Have you heard this on the news?
No.
And I know you glean all the news, right?
Right.
So you have to ask yourself, if they know in Europe that BPA leads to coronary artery disease, which is the number one killer of Americans, why is no one talking about that here? And why are we still the only country out there that continues to allow BPA to be put in our plastics that are used in food production and fluid productions?
And cans, too. There's BPA lining
linings
on cans.
Linings and cans.
Yes.
So, I mean, when I bought my distilled water the other day from Kroger's, I called the 800 number on the front and I asked them. They said there's no BPA in their plastic bottles that they use for their water.
I would have asked for a study if they had something they could send you.
Well, I thought about, I would like to send it off myself. I wish I knew of a lab that I could send it to see. Because I'd love to blow that one off the top of the lid. So, but anyway, go ahead. Back to Proposition 37.
Oh, no, I was finished.
We have to pay attention to Proposition 37. Those of you in California, you must vote yes. Look, again, whether you're for GMO or against GMO, all we're asking to say is we want to know that it's in there.
Exactly.
What's wrong with that?
And why? And the second question is, why do they not want you to know?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So that's it. Okay. What else do you want to talk about, Elisa? Or do you want to take a break, actually, because we kind of...
Okay.
You want to take a break? All right, we'll take a commercial break, and when we come back, we will pick it up with the normal format of Casual Friday with the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo. We'll be right back.
You want to rumble in my jungle? I'll take you on. Stampede your rumba and send you home. You want to rumble?
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day. And sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders and in minutes,
I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Super Charger immediately.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
You already know how great the Testa 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testa 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle building fat burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testa 100 patch today.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
I feel good now that the lovely and talented Alisa Profumo is in the studio.
Don't quit your day job.
No, you're supposed to say, what'd you do with that money?
What'd you do with that money?
What money?
The money your mama gave you for singing lessons.
Oh, I spent it at Wendy's. And got big and fat.
Okay, so, you know, you were just talking about BPA a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
And Nick Guggs posted an article that I found very interesting. It's 10 Ways to Detox Your Home, and this was written by Jillian Michaels. And kudos for Jillian Michaels for writing this article, because
right,
it's really good. The first item is to get rid of the toxic plastics in your home. Polystyrene, which is styrofoam, polyvinyl chloride, and polycarbonate, which is PC. It says steer clear of these in cooking oil bottles, cling wrap, microwavable ovenware, onion, styrofoam containers, hard plastic drinking bottles, and the plastic liners in almost all food and soft drink cans.
Well, let me tell you what she missed.
What?
Guess what? Those really cool toothbrushes that are like red and blue, that clear, you can see through them. They're so cool.
Is that PC?
Polycarbonate.
Really?
I'll tell you what else is polycarbonate.
What?
Semi-soft contact lenses, the hard contact lenses. If people have high astigmatisms and they're not a candidate for a soft lens, that's a polycarbonate lens.
We just really don't know what we have, what we're using. Mm-hmm. Okay, stop using bleached products. The EPA found that chlorine byproducts known as dioxins are 300 1,000 more times as carcinogenic as the scary chemical pesticide DDT.
Wow, that is something. So what qualifies as a bleach product?
Chlorinated paper towels, toilet paper, bleached coffee filters.
Toilet paper?
Toilet paper.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to think about cancer on that end of the body.
Oh, my God. It's crazy.
Okay. So what do you do? Go back to the old days where you had a wet rag hanging on a nail?
Whole Foods sells unbleached products.
Do they really?
Mm-hmm. I've seen it on their shelf. I've never looked at it. I've never bought it. But I think I'm going to start after reading this.
What about just recycling toilet paper? I guess that's not a good idea.
What do you mean?
Oh, never mind. It was a joke.
I don't get that joke.
Yeah. Recycling toilet paper. Think about it for a second.
Yes. I don't want to. Yeah. Give up antibacterial soaps. You know, we've talked about that. It has triclosan in it. It kills all bacteria, the good and the bad. It can also create antibiotic resistance, meaning that certain bacteria can grow immune to it over time. And when the triclosan is mixed with chlorinated tap water, the combination can create chloroform, mm-hmm. which is a carcinogenic gas.
Well, and there was just an article I read last week that said that 90% of all the waterways in the state of Michigan test positive for triclosan and other antimicrobial, antibacterial agents found in hand soaps and hand cleansers, and the fish are dying and suffering from it.
We've talked about that before.
But anyway, every waterway in Michigan, what does that mean? That means that everybody in Michigan is using these products.
Right. That's crazy.
They're afraid to have dirty hands.
Okay, this is one we've been discussing. Replace Teflon pots and pans.
Yes.
The chemicals that manufacturers use to create the seemingly magic lining of non-stick cookware could end up damaging your liver, your thyroid, or messing with your immune system. You should use porcelain-coated stainless steel glass pots and pans instead.
And, you know, porcelain-coated is the new rage. But back in the 30s and 40s, that's what they used to use, porcelain-coated pans. The problem with porcelain-coated is it chips. And once it chips, you got to throw it away.
Okay, the next one is put your personal care products to test. I guess the EPA does not regulate beauty products.
Who does? The FDA?
The FDA, it says, does not even regulate these products. Beauty products are a major source of chemical ingredients and endocrine disruptors that the FDA doesn't even regulate. It's up to you to do your homework and weed out the products that contain dangerous ingredients like mercury, lead, formaldehyde, parabens, phthalates, and triclosan.
Well, because think about it. There's lead in some red lipsticks. That, mm-hmm. I just thought about that. How does it get in? How do they let that happen?
The FDA doesn't regulate it.
Wow, the cosmetic industry really has a pass here. I mean, holy mackerel.
Cut out chemical home cleaners. And we've done that show with the cleaning coach, Leslie Reichert, I think was her name,
right.
About natural products to use at your home.
Mm-hmm.
It says here that the most toxic offenders are drain, oven, and toilet bowl cleaners or products that contain chlorine or ammonia.
Wow. And people mix them together and make toxic gases that they end up breathing.
Yeah. Rethink artificial room deodorizers.
I don't like them. You know what's funny? When I have to use a Lysol wet wipe, like to wipe the floor with something, I make sure that my shoe is on or my slipper is on. I throw it on the floor and I use my shoe or my slipper to move it around. I don't even want to touch that stuff. Now that I know that they use phthalates to lock fragrance into things, and I'm wondering if there's phthalates in perfume and cologne.
If you're attracted to room fragrances, go for natural products like Essence Rainforest Air Freshener or the Body Shop Kiwi Melon Home Fragrance Oil.
Or
natural aromatherapy oils.
Well, or how about, what do they call that stuff? Potpourri, real potpourri with vanilla and cinnamon and all that. And you just boil a little bit in water and it makes the whole house smell nice.
Mm-hmm.
I got to believe candles have phthalates in them too.
I guess they do unless you buy soy candles.
Still, it's the phthalates that they use to lock the fragrance in.
Okay. Okay. Steer clear of stain resistant furniture and clothing. Ditch dry cleaning chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
of course, we talked about that before. And pull the plug on pesticides.
Yeah, and we don't use pesticides, really. We bought one pesticide to get rid of the Japanese beetles, and it was the organic kind, and it didn't even work.
No.
It didn't even work. They were laughing. As a matter of fact, one of the Japanese beetles started laughing and gave me the finger when I was spraying it on him.
And it burned my rose bush, too. Yeah.
He went like this to me. He went, hey, that feels good. Keep spraying it. Didn't work.
Okay, that's it.
Okay. All right, so now let's talk about something equally important.
Okay, what is that?
Eggs are back in the news.
Eggs are all over the news.
And you know what's really interesting? As Adele Moussa points out in the notes that he sent to you that I don't have in front of me, that I should have, the author of the study openly admits that the goal of the study was to go after eggs, not to find the truth, but specifically to go after eggs and make people rethink the consumption of dietary cholesterol.
Okay, so here the article from Science Daily. Egg yolk consumption almost as bad as smoking when it comes to arteriosclerosis, studies suggest. So my friend called me as soon as she saw this, and she was really panicky because she said, I can't eat eggs anymore. I love eggs, Tricia.
Right. And you texted her this morning when we were eating breakfast, right?
I did, because we had a protein shake that had five raw eggs, yeah. Raw milk, raw honey, and spirulina in it.
Right, right. Yeah. Something she would never touch in a million years.
No.
That's okay. Okay, so I'm looking for these notes, and I'm sorry. Here they are. Okay. So Adele points out, he makes some really, really good points. When you look at the study, he says, first of all, the study population consisted of sick pre-hypertensive baby boomers. Baby boomers were referred to checked for their plaque levels in 1995, where everyone still believed that eggs were the devil. So keep in mind that they probably either lied about their egg consumption or really weren't eating eggs at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
The author of the study openly declares that their intention is to battle the potential harm from high cholesterol intake and specifically from egg yolks, which is considered insignificant today. So of course the study is going to be slanted against eggs. That they're saying, we're going to go out and write a study to show people that eggs are dangerous, and they wrote a study that showed that eggs are dangerous.
Why would someone do that?
Well, I have a feeling that anytime you say to the medical orthodoxy, you've been wrong for the past 50 years, and a lot of people have died as a result of it, they have to protect their position. It's like the American Dental Association continuing to say that mercury amalgam fillings are safe.
Uh-huh.
When we know they're not. And who cares what they say? They're idiots.
Right. Like you always say, you have to use your critical thinking
yeah.
skills.
I mean, just like Dr. Tenpenny said a little while ago, making a reference to, you know, how did we last the past 2,000 years without our vaccines? You know, the population would have dwindled and died. We wouldn't be here today. And if we didn't, we've been eating eggs since the beginning of time.
I'm on that Science Daily website, and as a separate article onto the side, the headline is, one egg yolk is worse than some fast food meals when it comes to cholesterol.
But this is a lie, and here's why. And here's what they failed to realize, that these people that they studied were sick. They were probably pre-diabetic or full-blown diabetic. Okay, everything in the body of the diabetic is bad. Everything. Because high insulin levels and high sugar levels create a metabolic derangement that causes things that are normally healthy for you to be unhealthy for you. Cholesterol is oxidized in this form at a higher rate, and it's oxidized cholesterol. In fact, Stefanson, when he did this study, he tried to reproduce the what he did with the Inuits in New York. The doctors he worked with admitted that they were more concerned about cooked eggs than raw eggs, because cooking eggs causes a change, an oxidation of the cholesterol that causes it to be sticky when it's in the blood. So cholesterol has never been bad for us. It's what we do with the cholesterol and what's wrong with our body when we put it in our body.
This article here is from the Atlantic website.
Right.
Study says eggs are nearly as bad for your arteries as cigarettes.
But now, no one point. I gave you a study a couple minutes ago. Do you still have it over there?
Yes.
Can you just throw it back over here? Okay. No one talks about this study that was produced by the University
Honolulu.
Of Honolulu. No, Hawaii. No. University of Hawaii at Manoa, I think it says. I'm sorry, the print is so small. In Honolulu, done back in 2001, that studied elderly people and followed them over a period of time and looked at cholesterol levels at the beginning of the study and the end of the study. And what they determined was that those with the lowest cholesterol levels had the highest rate of all-cause mortality. And those with the highest cholesterol levels at the end of the study had the most robust health, which led them to print this final sentence, which says, "This study casts doubt on the scientific justification for lowering cholesterol to very low concentrations in the elderly people." Because basically, from their study of a very large population size, those with the highest cholesterol levels were the healthiest and lived the longest. No one talks about this study.
No, but they're talking about the study that eating eggs is as bad as smoking.
And you know what? Shame on anybody who believes it.
So it says here, conclusion, egg yolks are almost as bad for your arteries as smoking. And then the implication is, while the link between eggs and cholesterol and between cholesterol and heart disease is well established,
it's not.
This study sheds light on the extent of their potential harm if eaten routinely in large quantities. I guess we're in trouble.
Yeah.
A single large egg contains more than 180 milligrams of cholesterol. How many do we have this morning?
That's 75% of the daily recommended amount of cholesterol.
More than a third of a person's daily recommended intake.
Right.
By this measure, a typical American breakfast with two eggs would push well past that. Egg whites, meanwhile, remain excellent.
Yeah, right. But you know what? It's all nonsense. This is all nonsense. Every cell in the body requires cholesterol. So why would you want to restrict cholesterol? Cholesterol is one of the primary building blocks of the brain. Why would you want to restrict cholesterol? And we know that when individuals take statin drugs that lower their cholesterol levels, that they become sick. They develop dementia. There's all sorts of diseases listed, linked to low cholesterol levels. But more importantly, there's one thing that could you read the first two sentences of what you just read again?
Oh, okay.
Can you find it real quick? Because I want to go back and I want about the linkage to cholesterol. You said the linkage between cholesterol and heart disease has been well established.
Right.
Lie. That's a big, big, big lie. It is not well established. In fact, the majority of people that end up in an emergency room with a cardiac infarct, and they have normal levels of cholesterol and normal levels of LDL cholesterol. They don't have elevated cholesterol. The large majority of, and I challenge anybody to prove this wrong, the large majority of individuals that end up with a heart attack typically have the low levels of cholesterol or what is considered normal. But more importantly, the whole foundation of this cholesterol theory is based on Dr. Ansel Keys, who did a population study. He did not correct for smoking. He did not correct for diabetes. He corrected for nothing. All he said was the people who had eight high cholesterol diets also had high heart attack rates. That could have been because they had diabetes.
So there was no correlation there.
No. And here's how science works. Doctors continue to say, well, the linkage has been well established. It hasn't been well established. In fact, it started from a misassumption. Just like, well, fire trucks must cause fires because they're always at fires. I mean, it's nonsense. And they just took this misassumption and built a flippin' empire on it.
Well, it's just like Dr. Tenpenny said, you have to really do your research.
But more than that, you got to go beyond that. You cannot believe science when it contradicts what you know to be true. Look, you have great-great-grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-great-grandparents and great-great-great-great-grandparents, and you have to have had them because you wouldn't be here if you didn't have them, who all ate eggs fried in lard every day of their lives with a side of bacon and sausage.
And had the lard sitting in a can on their stove.
Right, that they could scoop out and cook something else with it and then drain it back.
Mm-hmm.
So if, in fact, this caused heart disease, they wouldn't have lived to be 70, 80, and 90. And guess what, folks? Contrary to what modern medicine wants you to believe, they did live to be 70, 80, and 90, didn't know what their blood pressure was, didn't know what their cholesterol levels were, didn't know any of the things that we are so preponderous about today. Oh my God, I heard a commercial, I think I have that symptom. This is nonsense, folks. We wouldn't have gotten here today if the pharmaceutical and medical orthodoxy were correct in what they're telling us now. Our population would have been thinned out a long time ago.
And I asked you this question this morning, and I'll ask you again. If eating an egg a day is so bad for you, and I eat more than one, why is my cholesterol so good?
Oh, what is your HDL? Norm, like 100?
102.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they called you up and they told you you had high cholesterol, but when they did the number, when you did the subtraction.
Well, no, when I asked what my percentages were, they didn't do the ratio, the breakdown of the LDL and HDL. They just combined the two.
Right, the large
and
number.
And my LDL was like, not even
70.
It was not even 70. It was like in the 50s, 60s, okay, or something. And then HDL was 102.
And they would put you on a statin drug in a heartbeat.
Yes.
In a heartbeat. All right, we have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will pick it up. You're listening to Casual Friday. I'm in the studio with the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo, and you're not. We'll be right back. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomeres. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting tasciences.com. That's tasciences.com.
Want hardcore legal gear? Check out MrSups.com. MrSups.com carries only the best pro hormones, raw powders, and post-cycle products around. MrSups.com can deliver the goods, and no one beats MrSups.com on hardcore, barely legal pro hormones, because MrSups.com is the source. You get wholesale prices by cutting out the middleman. Don't waste your hard-earned money. Go to MrSups.com today and compare for yourself. You won't be disappointed. MrSups.com. That's MrSups.com. Cutting-edge products at wholesale prices.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Adele just messaged me and said, don't forget to mention that the high egg eating group had the best equals lowest cholesterol, best HDL-LDL ratio. That's like you just
said. That's like I just said, yeah.
So, and he keeps me informed.
His blogs are awesome.
You know what's funny?
I've been
plugging him a lot because he really deserves the exposure.
Uh-huh.
And I've been plugging him a lot. And he sent me a nice email this morning thanking me for the plugs, but wishes that I wouldn't refer to him as a genius or make such a big fuss about him. And you know what's really weird about this? Like, I'm not saying the things I say because I feel like I owe him something. When I compare his blog to blogs out there that get a lot of visitors, right? The content of his blog, the context and the layout, the obvious work that goes into the blog, the references that he includes, the beautiful graphics, and even the humoristic undertone where he has jokes here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is the quality of work that you would see from a large magazine like Men's Health or something like that. And so he said he would prefer that I not, you know, make a big deal about him. And I said, I'm sorry. I can't do it. I think he's a genius. And I think he's one of the most skilled writers out there today. And you know what really always strikes me about him?
What?
He lives in Germany. He speaks German fluently.
Uh-huh.
But he has a natural inclination for the English language. I mean, for the slangs, the acronyms. And it's like, oh, my God, this guy, he's so effectively multilingual. It's amazing to me. But why not? He's a Gemini. He's a master communicator. Sorry, I had to plug us.
And he's your brother from another
mother. And he
mother.
Is my brother from another mother. So there you go.
So speaking of Adele Moussa, he posted today an article, pan-fried meat increases risk of prostate cancer, a new study finds.
Yeah. I'm calling bull hockey.
Okay, so in here it says, in the article it says, previous studies have emphasized an association between diets high in red meat and risk of prostate cancer, but evidence is limited.
Yeah.
Attention to cooking methods of red meat, however, shows the risk of prostate cancer may be a result of potent chemical carcinogens formed with meats that are cooked at high temperatures.
But here's the thing that they miss all the time.
Which is?
Okay. Corn and grain-fed cows
yes.
have a omega-3 to omega-6 ratio of 1 to 26. And grass-fed and finished cows have an omega-3 ratio to omega-6 ratio of 2 to 1. So when you take these highly pro-inflammatory fats and oxidize them and denature them in high cooking, you end up with frank carcinogenic chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
You don't end up with those when you use grass-fed beef. That's it. So
They didn't specify what.
Right. Well, you know that they're not using grass-fed beef. They're going to Kroger's. They're buying the CAFO meat that everybody's eating out there that's developing cancers and getting sick and causing inflammation, because they're not even in contact or in sync enough to realize that meat is already poisoned. It's already poisoned. Never mind the fact that it has residual lectins and anti-nutrients that the animal is eating and becomes part of their fleshal matrix from the foreign foods that they're being fed. They don't even consider the fact that there are low-level, subclinical levels of antibiotics left in that meat that are causing all sorts of gut problems in America today. That is like, it's like picking up garbage and cooking it and going, wow, this made somebody sick, and being surprised.
Mm-hmm.
If you're eating grass-fed beef, okay, here, and somebody will say, well, how do you know that? Well, here's how I know. It's called Ergo. Grass-fed beef has the same omega-3 to omega-6 ratio as salmon. Salmon is heart healthy. Salmon is anti-inflammatory. Salmon fat is good for you. Okay? Beef fat is bad for you. No. Beef that is grown and raised on corn and grain is bad for you because, again, grass-fed beef has the same omega-3 to omega-6 ratio as salmon. It's called Ergo. I don't have to do any science. It's called critical thinking.
Okay, so he did follow up with his own blog from Subversity, and the title of his is Meatology, a brief glance at the latest data on the link between red meat cooking techniques and prostate cancer.
I love it.
It's really good.
Did he have any summaries that you can just point to, or I guess people just need to go there and read it.
Yeah, everybody should go there and read it for themselves because it's really a great piece of work.
Oh, he sent me another study. He's too fast for me. I just have to have him on the show. Trends in serum lipid among U.S. youth aged 16 to 19 years old. I'll have to read this one, Adele. I'll read it during the break. But it does also remember my post on statins and diabetes. Very good. Very good. Yeah. I mean, he's got, I mean, his blog alone is valuable to anybody out there to get the truth. What else do we have to talk? We have to take another break, believe it or not.
Okay.
All right. Let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break. And when we come back, we will wrap up Casual Friday. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today. And your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com. And download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SH Radio. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometime pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Showtime. Guess where we're going after the show?
I'm going to go eat some eggs.
Yeah, we're going to go out and have eggs. Lots of them. I've already had five this morning, so we're going to have more.
Well, you split that. Well, you didn't. You gave me about a fourth. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about cinnamon. Amir Rozic posted on Facebook his blog, which is AmirRozek.com. And Cinnamon is kind of a favorite of mine, so I just thought I'd share his blog with our audience because I really like cinnamon. I like the way it tastes, and I like the benefits of it.
Do you remember the song from the 70s? Cinnamon, let me in.
You're in a singing mood today.
Well, I'm so much older than you. That's why you can't remember these things.
Okay, so his blog is really well written as well. The benefits of cinnamon, anti-aging. Cinnamon, in recent studies, cinnamon was shown to help in the reformation of collagenous network. Cinnamon aldehyde, which is the active component, has been shown to stimulate IGF. Did you know that?
No, I gotta eat more cinnamon.
And therefore increase the production of collagen biosynthesis.
Cool.
The end results of the study suggested that cinnamon extract is useful in anti-aging treatment of the skin. So eat more cinnamon. Blood sugar control, we've talked about that before.
It's an insulin mimetic.
And it's rich in polyphenolics.
Right.
Okay. And then it boosts brain function.
I need that. I need a lot of that.
Yeah. So, and the conclusion by Amir is, by adding some sweet cinnamon to your diet, you may increase your longevity, health of your skin, and increase cognitive function. Talk about a superfood. So listen up. Go spice your life and enjoy the many benefits cinnamon holds for you.
One caveat. I experimented with cinnamon probably a decade ago with my post-workout drink to see if it would act kind of like our alpha lipoic acid and help shuttle more nutrients into the muscles, blah, blah, blah. So I took a heaping teaspoon of cinnamon, threw it in my mouth, and drank it down with my protein drink.
Yes.
And proceeded to spend about an hour in the bathroom after that. Cinnamon in small amounts is good, but in large amounts, it really is disruptive to the GI tract.
Oh, how much did you use?
A heaping teaspoon of it.
Oh.
That doesn't sound like a lot.
No.
I know. And I washed it down with my protein drink that had, at that point in my life, I was using 80 grams of dextrose, 50 grams of whey protein, creatine, and then I used that. But anyway, a little bit of cinnamon goes a long way. That's the bottom line.
That is the bottom line.
I also wanted to apologize for those of you who didn't listen to the show yesterday. When I interviewed Dr. Brandy Cantarell from the University of Maryland School of Medicine about the Amish gut study. And we were talking about how the Amish have an unusually high amount of a particular microbiota called Prevotella in their guts. And we were supposing that it's because they work with animals and they come in contact with the soil. And I totally forgot to mention that they drink raw unpasteurized milk when I was talking to her. And I can't believe I missed that opportunity to get somebody from the other side, from the scientific community, to think about just for a second, well, maybe it is the raw and pasteurized milk that they drink. And I can't believe I missed that opportunity. I feel so bad about that. You can't. I mean, this is the second time I'm talking about it because I want to just kick myself in the back of the head.
You want me to do it for you?
Yeah, because I'm not flexible enough to do it. So, yeah, that'll help.
Okay, so just really quick here. This was on FoxNews.com, and Albert Woody posted this. And then he put on there, these bars are loaded with GMOs and sugar. They've tested energy bars, and they've listed the five best energy bars.
Okay. Energy bars or protein bars?
It says the best energy
bars.
Well,
an energy bar is usually high in carbohydrates, so let's hear it.
Number five was the Balance Bar.
Okay.
It has 14 grams of sugar, 23 carbs.
That's not bad.
Yeah, but okay, Kashi Go Lean, caramel peanut. That's, first of all, loaded with GMOs.
Right.
It has 14 grams of sugar, 27 carbs. It does have 12 grams of protein in it.
Right.
Clif Carrot Cake, 44 grams of carbs, 25 grams of sugar.
Ouch.
And, you know, it's supposed to get getting better as we go down the list.
Oh, so these are the better choices.
Yeah, this is number three on the list. Snickers Marathon Energy.
Oh, come on. It's just a Snickers bar with some protein
26
powder.
Grams of carbs and 15 grams of sugar.
And it's this big. It's tiny. Have you ever seen it?
No, I have not. And the Clif Mojo Honey Roasted Peanut, 18 grams of sugar, 26 grams of carbs.
But see, this is why they call them energy bars. They call them energy bars because they are high carbohydrate bars instead of protein bars, which are low carbohydrate bars.
Okay. So I wouldn't eat any of those.
The notion is that, you know, if you want energy, you have to eat high carbs, and that's nonsense. Unless you are in the diabetic or pre-diabetic boomerang lifestyle where your sugar dips and so you got to raise it and then sugar dips again and you have to raise it. It's, you want energy all day long, have stable blood sugar. That's a better choice. Did you read the coffee study? Life Extension magazine. You don't have to bring it out right now, but I mean, do you remember? Didn't they? They had, Life Extension magazine had some really good articles. One on melatonin, and one on drinking coffee. They're saying that coffee has all these benefits. I mean, 1,000 different known and unknown components make up coffee that can protect you against dementia, diabetes. I mean, it's pretty interesting.
And it's in this September's Life Extension magazine, but also on melatonin. It lists all of the benefits of taking melatonin. I'm just gonna go through them really quick.
Yeah.
The antioxidant defense.
Mm-hmm.
It can combat free radical damage
right.
while you sleep.
Right.
I've been off the air for too many weeks.
Yeah, there you go. You're right.
Melatonin fights back against America's major killer.
Cancer.
Cardiovascular disease.
Okay.
Cancer therapy and immune regulator.
Right. The only thing I forgot to ask when I had Dr. Russell Ryder on the show is I've read years ago that melatonin is a pro-inflammatory. I wonder if that's true.
Protects against diabetic complications.
Yeah.
Helps delay Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
Combats obesity. Helps prevent osteoporosis.
Really? I wouldn't have guessed that one. I mean, it's really great for people who are hyperthyroid, protects their heart and their eyes against the excessive amounts of thyroid hormone.
Hmm.
Very interesting.
That is interesting. Okay, so Carmela Cierzo posted an article about a cream that fights skin cancer.
I know, this was interesting. Yeah, read this. This is really cool.
Okay, there was a guy, Rolando de la Cruz, who came up with DEBCC, and it combats skin cancer, which is basal cell carcinoma. Evidently, when he was younger, he was trying to open a raw cashew nut by striking it with a stone, and the oil from the nut
right.
splattered on his hands, and some of his hands got burned from the
right.
oil.
Right.
So he referred to the story as how his invention started because he started making a cream for moles and warts.
Right.
Okay. So they started to, in a barber shop, they started to put this on people that had moles.
They would come in, yeah, they have a mole on their neck, for instance.
It was
or something.
A painless treatment, yeah.
I wonder if it just kind of burnt it and made it fall off. I guess it did, right?
Like yes.
Yeah.
So when he was putting this on people, he noticed that he started seeing the scars on people's faces and necks. I'm sorry, I'm reading this while we're going here. But anyway, he found that it worked on basal cell carcinoma as well.
Wow. So he would put a little drop of it on a lesion and the lesion would dry up and fall off.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't you say that this was kind of like a chemical cauterization that it actually had? It was similar mm-hmm. to cauterizing?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Now, who would have known that? I mean, think about that for a second. That's obviously part of the evolutionary selection pressure of cashews to keep from being eaten. Because don't forget, these are seed material, right? They're, uh-huh. they're the DNA, the genetic material. So they don't have hands to hit with, and they don't have teeth to bite with. So they create chemicals to keep things from eating them. I bet animals that would just bite the whole cashew, shell and all, would burn the inside of their mouth and they would never go back and eat them again. It's interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and that is posted on Proud NOYPI website.
And he's from the Philippines,
this guy. He is from the Philippines.
So theoretically, if somebody has some sort of basal cell carcinoma, they could use this as an alternative to treating it than going in for some, you know, special chemo or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, it was in the Philippine Daily Inquirer.
There you go.
Inquiring
That's
minds
good.
Want to
yeah,
know.
Yeah, so if somebody knows somebody with skin cancer out there, here's an alternative before they let their doctor burn their whole body out.
Yes. What else?
We covered that. We talked about that.
You know, somebody posted a wall photo on Facebook, and I just saved it because I find it interesting that people still eat aspartame. There was a picture of the top 10 worst sources of aspartame.
Okay.
Chewing gum, flavored water, sugar-free products, drink products, cooking sauces, children's medicines, and cereals, diet sodas, yogurts, and tabletop sweeteners, rounding out the top 10.
It's in a lot of things. It's a lot of things that, you know, like I used to love sugar-free Jell-O, but then I realized that it was loaded with aspartame.
I see people posting recipes and...
Especially within the, let's be frank, especially within the bodybuilding slash figure fitness, you know, blah, blah, blah community, where you see people that don't want to feel like they're starving or doing without, who then turn to really toxic choices so that they can feel like they're having pudding and... and remember, I bought...
you said a cancer in a...
I called it, yeah. I went out one day and I just had this urge. They had... Jell-O came out with this new chocolate mousse, sugar-free chocolate mousse, and sure enough, it had...
Aspartame
and Ace K in it. And I brought it home and I said to you, I know what you're going to say, but I just feel like having some chocolate mousse and I just want to see what this tastes like. And then I affectionately called it cancer in a tub after that.
There's still one in the refrigerator. Yeah. I haven't touched it.
Cancer in a tub. But I mean, it's like, you know what? I ate it, but I knew what I was eating. I wasn't lying to myself. It wasn't like I was saying, oh, this is great. I'm going to eat dozens of these from now on. This is a regular part of my meal plan. It's like, no, this is probably like me going out and smoking a cigar one night. It's a stupid thing to do, but I want to do it, and I understand the risks.
Aspartame is the technical name for brand names NutraSweet, Equal Measure, and Spoonful. It's the little blue packets. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked that people still eat it with all of the research out there that shows how bad it is. I read in a book recently that it causes brain cancer.
Oh, yeah. It turns into like formaldehyde and alcohol, and it causes pitting in the brain. It damages neurons. It upregulates glutamate production, which actually can burn neurons out. I mean, it's just bad for you all the way around.
Aspartame accounts for over 75% of the adverse reactions to food additives reported to the FDA. Many of these reactions are very serious, including seizures and death. A few of the 90 different documented symptoms listed in the report as being caused by aspartame include headaches, migraines, dizziness, seizure, nausea, numbness, muscle spasms, weight gain, rashes, depression, fatigue, irritability, insomnia, vision problems, hearing loss, and the list goes on.
Headaches are the big one. When I eat aspartame,
joint pain.
Remember what happened to me when I ate the stuff, the cancer in a tub.
In a tub.
Remember, I woke up in the morning with a headache, and I said, "I never have headaches in the morning." And I know what it is. It's from that damn aspartame. Mm-hmm. That gives me a headache.
I just steer clear of it. I don't eat any products that have aspartame in them, and I'm shocked that people still do.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm with you on that. What else do we have to talk about, Elisa Profumo?
I think that's it.
So we can go have our eggs. I was going to have steak and eggs, but I don't know if I want to get the CAFO steak that they serve at that restaurant. I think I'm just going to have maybe a half dozen eggs and totally shock the waitress. Thank you for listening to Casual Friday today. Thank you to Dr. Tenpenny for gracing our show today during the first hour. Visit our website, drtenpenny.com or vaccinereserchlibrary.com.
It's good to be back on the air.
Good to have you back on the air, too. I want you, and matter of fact, you need to come in for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday show to make up for your time off the air.
Oh, really?
Yes. I insist. And the audience wants you to. And by the way, I almost forgot. We're trying to revive the Body RX radio show.
Yes.
But Dr. Connolly and Vince Andrich aren't convinced that people will listen. There is a poll on superhumanradio.com. Please go and vote, and vote often. Vote numerous times if you have to. We need to get the message across that you want Body RX to come back to the Superhuman Radio Network. Okay? So check it out. We'll see you Monday with more.
Bye.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving.